This is your WWE TLC 2019 review tables, ladders, and chairs from the Target Center in Minneapolis, Minnesota. What's the area code for Minnesota? I don't know what the area code is, but I know 619 is San Diego. So type in 619 so I know that everybody can hear me in the chat. We'll get going here in just a second as we get prepared to recap tonight's pay-per-view. I just want to make sure everybody can hear me loud and clear, so hit the 619 in the chat if you can. I got a lot of thoughts on this show. And TLC is a hard show to get wrong, right? Because everybody, they're putting in the effort. They're putting their bodies on the line. I mean, these people are getting their asses kicked. It's a tough thing because you don't want to crap all over the show. I don't envy the way they're going to wake up tomorrow morning. But at the same time, you got to call it like you see it. And I was going to say that the first half of the show was really great. And then the second half of the show just completely fell off a cliff. But really, when I think about it, there were only two great matches on this show. And those great matches just so happened to be the first two matches on the main card. Everything after that, except for the Daniel Bryan stuff, which I enjoyed, was lackluster. At best. That's a thumbs down from me. I gotta give TLC a thumbs down. Here in 2019. The one thing I will give a thumbs up for is Samoa Joe's commentary. Samoa Joe continues to kill it on commentary. I very much enjoy his work on there. Of course, I'd like to see him back on TV in the ring soon, feuding with somebody. And I'm sure in due time, when he's all healed up from his thumb injury, he will be. Although, you never know. I mean, they may like him so much they keep him in that spot. But his commentary, I felt, was actually a bright spot on tonight's pay-per-view. So we'll get into the whole shebang here in just a second. And people are still filtering in. And again, if you're having any kind of issues or anything, buffering or streaming, that should resolve itself here in just a second. Hat tip to Salrex for the awesome thumbnail and Steve Mello for the fantastic slides, as always. The best 1-2 punch on all of wrestling YouTube, as far as I'm concerned. Poll is open on Twitter if you want to vote. Let your voice be heard. At Solomonster is the handle. You can give the show a thumbs up or a thumbs down. What did you think of the pay-per-view if you watched? Please only vote if you watched the show tonight. Hit the sub button as well. If you're not already subscribed to the channel, you'll see alerts for all of our new subscribers popping up, you should anyway, throughout the night. And super chats are open. I've added a few new ones as well for those who wish to donate. Always remember, $10 or more, as always, is good for the Russo on a Pole super chat, which you guys already know. Tonight's review is sponsored by The Ridge, the slim wallet that fits comfortably in your pocket. They make the perfect gift this holiday season. Here we're heading into Christmas, or Hanukkah, New Year's, all the big holidays are coming up. Makes for the perfect holiday gift for your loved ones. Your not so loved ones, you can let them buy one for themselves. One of my loved ones, as you know, happens to be CubeBot, who is not here with us tonight. Now, if you tuned into my Dynamite stream 2 weeks ago, you saw CubeBot loving life. He was enjoying life with his new Ridge wallet. He was so happy. He was spending money on the ladies with his cool new wallet. For those of you who maybe missed it and didn't see it, there you go. You should be seeing it on your screen right now. Look at CubeBot. Look how happy he is, and look at that lovely lady. Now, if that lady looks familiar, you know who she is, or you should anyway. That lady that he was with happened to be Miss Elizabeth. And I warned him. I said that if the Macho Man found out they were together, that would be the end of CubeBot. Well, this is a never-before-seen image that I am about to show you from immediately after this photo that you're looking at now was taken. Okay, it came into my possession shortly thereafter. And I want to show it to you here. This is a never-before-seen photo. There you see, in the background, the Macho Man Randy Savage spying on his wife, or his ex-wife, as I should say. He saw the whole thing. You can imagine what happened next. The photos are so brutal, I can't even show them to you without violating YouTube policy. CubeBot is still in ICU. It may be a while before we see CubeBot again. Macho Man left the wallet untouched, though. In fact, he took it with him because he thought it was so cool. So I guess he is now the owner of a Ridge wallet. They come in aluminum, burnt titanium, carbon fiber, and their new Damascus steel wallet. You can get it with your choice of a cash strap or a money clip. Keep your cash safe and secure. The wallet that will not make your pocket bulge. I got one. I love it. You can get a lifetime warranty, all that good stuff. Right now, you can get 10% off your first Ridge wallet with free shipping all over the world. There is still time to get yours or get one for a friend or family member and have it delivered before Christmas, but only if you grab one now. So visit ridge.com/solomonster and use the promo code solomonster at checkout. That's ridge.com/solomonster and get 10% off courtesy of the Solomonster Sounds Off. The kickoff show. When previewing the women's tag team title match tonight on the kickoff show, Booker T made the comment. He said that the handicap match between the Kabuki Warriors and Charlotte Flair on Raw a few weeks ago is probably his match of the year in WWE. I mean, I like the match and all, but match of the year I think is a bit of a stretch. Thank you, Young Bibby, by the way, for the $1.99 super chat. Do I think Liv Morgan will succeed? Well, you're asking me if I think that somebody who is being, advertised for a return to the roster is going to succeed. I have a feeling that a lot of that doesn't necessarily lie on her own skills. So I can't really answer that. But thank you for the super chat. We had one match on the kickoff show. Andrade Cien Almas and Humberto Carrillo. They had a match on Raw Monday night. Carrillo picked up the shock win thanks to the bump that Zelina Vega took. She got knocked off the apron by Andrade, and then Andrade got rolled up. So this was the rematch. Now, the match on TV Monday night was good, and this match also was good. There was a spin kick by Carrillo that connected a little too well, and Andrade tonight here got busted open. It looked like he was busted open by his left eye. I want to say it was the left eye where he got busted open. And so that was not a good moment there for Andrade. They replayed the same spot where, and this was later on, they recreated the spot from Monday where Zelina Vega gets up on the apron. Only this time, instead of careening into her, Andrade stopped short. And they played it off for a near fall. So it really didn't factor into the finish here. It wasn't like a distraction finish or anything like that. Carrillo did an inverted Frankensteiner off the top rope and then hit a beautiful moonsault for his second win in less than a week over Andrade. And there was more drama when the match was over. Andrade, he was not happy with Zelina, even though really, you know, her interference really didn't factor into the finish. As, I guess the way that he sees it, just her getting involved at all in the match, it threw him off his game, I suppose. But he's shooing her away and he walks out. And I said this when I did the podcast earlier, when I was talking about what happened on Monday. I don't like this. I don't like this at all. I don't like where this is headed. Unless they want to turn him face or something, and they feel that, you know, she's a heel. They don't want her with him anymore. But she was put with him for a reason, because his English wasn't great, and it's still not great. And I just think that they're a perfect combo, and now is not the time to break them up. So I hope this is all just a tease and they make up in the end. They kiss and make up. Well, not kiss. I mean, Alistair wouldn't like that. But hopefully in the end they'll make up and they'll stay together, because I think that would be a terrible decision to split those two apart. Zach Showalter, thank you for the $5 super chat. EC3 still deserves justice. There's a lot of people on this roster, I got news for you, that deserve justice. Lance Morrell, thank you for the $5 super chat. And Loki. Good old Loki donating $5 as well. Very underwhelming show, he says. Love the podcast, as always. Well, let's get into this underwhelming show, because the beginning of the show was anything but underwhelming. Pay-per-view opened with the New Day against the Revival in a ladder match for the SmackDown Tag Team titles. A couple of highlights here. Revival tried to push the ladder over at one point as Kofi Kingston was climbing. Kofi landed, barely, but he landed on the top rope. And he was trying to balance himself. He could see that he was about to probably take a tumble, so he very quickly transitioned into a tornado or something that resembled a tornado DDT. It wasn't pretty, but you know, he hit a big move on Dawson and got the crowd into it. Then he caught Wilder with the Trouble in Paradise. So yeah, he almost lost his balance, but he saved it. Turned out to be a great spot. Revival caught Kofi right after with the Shatter Machine as he was coming down off the ladder. So that took Kofi out of this for a few minutes. Big E took out Dash Wilder with his running spear through the ropes, the running shoulder tackle. And, you know, it's like, he's not going to have any shoulders in a few years. Like, I don't know why you would do that. It would almost be, even if you were somebody as tiny as Kairi Sane doing that move, the constant landing on the shoulder on the floor, right, where there's not a lot of give. You do that every night, every week, every pay-per-view, 5 years, 10 years. What do you think your shoulders are going to be like? Big E is not Kairi Sane. He's a big dude. And he just, I cringe every time I see it. Somehow he hasn't gotten injured yet, but you know it's going to have an effect on his shoulders. But hey, it's his body. I hope it's worth it. Big E set up a whole bunch of ladders in the ring, but it was Scott Dawson. He suplexed him off the top rope down onto a ladder bridge. Big E, though, he kind of missed it. He only clipped it with his left arm on the way down. And so they placed him back on the ladder. Wilder splashed him through it. Finally, it broke all the way through. So the Revival, they start climbing. They've got the match won. All of a sudden, Kofi Kingston, he comes flying off the top rope, lands on one of the ladders like Spider-Man. So they ram Kofi's head into the ladder a few times. And he's just hanging. He's just, his legs are trapped. He's just dangling. And Big E resurfaces like the Loch Ness Monster from Scotland. See? I got it right this time. And he gives Dash Wilder a big ending off the ladder. Kofi then grabs that the contraption that the belts are hanging from, and he rams it into Dawson's head. He knocks Scott Dawson off the ladder, down through another ladder. And Kofi Kingston unhooks the championships. The New Day retained the SmackDown Tag Team titles in an excellent opener. This was a great match. This was a great match and a hot way to start off the show. And adding the ladder stipulation obviously was a smart move. It was a last-minute thing. They only did it in the last, I don't even think it was a week ago. This match didn't have a stipulation. But in the end, it really paid off. So right from that, by the way, Kevin, thank you for the $5 Super Chat. Appreciate all the support that you guys always throw my way. It's always appreciated. Aleister Black against Buddy Murphy. Another very good match here. I would even say excellent. Both men began the match sitting cross-legged, staring at each other. Bell rings. Aleister tries immediately to end it with the Black Mass. And Murphy wisely ducks out of the ring. Now, there was a spot in here shortly thereafter where Buddy Murphy sent Aleister face-first into the post. Now, I don't think he was hurt on that. But then he tripped him, and he fell face-first down onto the steps. And I believe that's where Aleister may have broken his nose. He came up bloody after that. Lawler said the same thing. He thought Black's nose was broken. Not a good night for the men of Zelina Vega. Which kind of makes her sound like an escort or something. But that's not how... You know what I mean. That's not how I meant it, of course. But I made the comment on Twitter. It was kind of funny. You know, we saw blood, hardway blood, in two out of the three, first three matches on this pay-per-view. And it happened to be the two that did not involve tables, ladders, or chairs. So you would think on a pay-per-view like this, think of all the weapons we saw tonight. You would think you would see blood in those matches, right? We got blood. The first two out of the three first matches on the show had no stipulation. And that's where we saw the blood. It's just funny how that works. So Murphy, at one point, he went to go put Alistair's ring jacket on. And Aleister was coming in after him. So he tossed the jacket at him. Black dodged it. And that jacket must weigh a bit because it hit Jerry Lawler in the face. You could hear it. You could hear the impact. That's how heavy the jacket was when it hit Lawler in the headset. And so it took Lawler off commentary for about 20 seconds or so as he tried to readjust himself. I'm sure he was very thrilled about that. And so Black hits a springboard moonsault in the ring. Hits another one later on. This one out to the floor. Murphy hits a beautiful sit-out powerbomb for an earfall. These guys are rocking and rolling here in these last few minutes of the match. Series of strikes. He hits a brainbuster for a two count. In the end, though, Black Mass, out of nowhere, connects for the pin. And that move is already over because when Black hits it, these people react like they know this match is over. So that's pretty cool. These men, I will say these two men here are part of the future of Monday Night Raw. If they get the right support from you-know-who in the back. I'm sure Paul Heyman loves both these guys, but it's not Paul Heyman's show. I don't care what influence he may or may not have on Raw. It is Vince McMahon's baby. It is Vince McMahon's show. And if Vince McMahon does not like you, if Vince McMahon does not believe in you, if he loses faith in you, if he gets bored with you, you are done. But if he's behind you, then you've got a shot. Vince McMahon ought to be behind both these guys. Because these two right here, they are the future of Monday Night Raw. Rusev was backstage giving an interview wearing a Princess Bride t-shirt with Andre the Giant on it that said, "Anybody want a peanut?" I thought that was great. His choice of t-shirts lately, you know, the Donald Duck one the other day, he's had a couple of other ones, have been quite good. And he also said that as part of his divorce from Lana, he does not have to pay her alimony. So no wonder he's been in such a good mood. That would explain it. That explains a lot, actually. Sean Waters, good to hear from Sean. $1.99 Super Chat, thank you very much. And Jesse Santana, happy holidays. Yes, happy holidays to everybody joining me in the chat here tonight. Appreciate it. Actually, hold on one second here. I gotta take care of some business here. Hold on a second. We got to take care of some business. There we go. I always love doing that. I always love silencing idiots. Anyway, moving on here. Viking Raiders, open challenge for the Raw Tag Team titles. I had predicted AOP, but I had pitched the Usos, maybe, as an idea. We haven't seen the Usos in months, ever since Jimmy had his little traffic infraction. Just a little traffic infraction. And so, I don't know where they are, but I said, anybody but Gallows and Anderson. Gallows and Anderson, who cares? You know, best tag team in the world. I hate that I even have to say this, because, you know, a year ago, or whenever it was, it's probably 2 years ago at this point, when they came over, and we got the initial group with them and AJ, you know, I was hopeful that, you know, these guys would be kind of a fun faction. And then they broke them up almost immediately. And you look at what they've done with Anderson and Gallows in the time since then. And I'm sorry, but winning a tournament or a battle royal or whatever it was, a gauntlet match in Saudi Arabia and giving them a dumb trophy, that does not make me want to care about these guys. So, of course, they went with the predictable outcome here, and they picked Anderson and Gallows for the open challenge. They had a bunch of phony fans eating Kentucky Fried Chicken at ringside as part of some promotion that they're doing. Jim Cornette was watching and probably biting his lip. Don't say it, Jim. Don't do it. Don't do it. I know you want to, but don't do it. This was boring. They gave Carl Anderson the Viking Experience. What a stupid name. The Viking Experience, and had the match won until Gallows dove in to break it up, but he was about a second too late. It looked bad with the referee having to hold up the count. And they brawled outside. Ivar wiped out the heels with a dive out of the ring, which usually when that happens, if the referee is in the middle of a count, correct me if I'm wrong, but the referee then would stop the count, restart the count, but he didn't. He kept counting, and both teams got counted out. Crowd booed, as they should have, because this sucked. Raiders ended up putting Anderson through the KFC chicken table with a Shield-esque powerbomb. Whoever booked this should resign from the National Wrestling Alliance like Jim Cornette did. Even if they're not part of the NWA, they should resign anyway. This is where the show really began to take a nosedive, and this is why I can't sit here and tell you that the first half was great, but then the second half sucked. It wasn't even enough to get to the first half. This is where things began to take a tumble here. This is why I can't give this pay-per-view a thumbs up. I don't care. You can talk about effort and all that stuff. I cannot in good conscience give this pay-per-view a thumbs up. And this is where it all started to go downhill. That brought us to Roman Reigns against King Corbin in a tables, ladders, and chairs match. I was shocked they didn't headline with this. Although once I saw the finish, I realized why. Corbin wore wrist tape for the first time in his career. I don't know why I noticed that, but something seemed off. Something seemed different about him. And I'm pretty sure it was the wrist tape. Wrestling Renegade. Thank you very much for the $4.99 super chat. There's a Kyle / Bill O'Reilly on the screen. Oh, me. CJ LaChapelle. I love CJ. CJ's a big supporter. $10 super chat. You know what that means. You know what that means. Did I miss it? Well, if I did, you'll see it shortly. That's good for someone on a poll. So, yes, Corbin wore wrist tape, and that's probably the most exciting thing I can say about this match. Open with Roman Reigns coming out and beating up a whole bunch of security goofs. Everybody who was part of the goon squad that Corbin came to the ring with, he's beating them all up. Very similar to what we saw at the end of SmackDown on Friday night. So Reigns sets a table up inside the ring. Corbin grabs a can of dog food, and he hits Roman in the face with it. You would think that, based on the commentary here and what Michael Cole was saying and the panicked way in which he was saying it, you would think that Roman got shot in the face. That's what you would do. It was a can of dog food. Okay, calm down. Corbin set the announce table up. He was clearing all this stuff off the announce table. Reigns ended up grabbing Corbin, and he dropped him with a Samoan drop through one of the other announce. Yeah, they have all the announce tables side by side by side. So he ends up dropping him through one of the other announce tables. So Corbin's down. He's kind of getting up. He's leaning up against that barricade over by the timekeeper's area. And Roman Reigns begins to circle the ring as I am struck by the No Ma'am super chat. I figured some people would get a kick out of that one. Married with Children is one of my all-time favorite shows, so I figure why not change it up a little bit. So, Nico, thank you for the $4.99 super chat. You're the lucky one to get the No Ma'am super chat. You don't know what other ones there might be, too. I usually plug a few new ones in there. Let's see how many you can catch. Suda, thank you for the $2 super chat. I will not answer that question because I do not know how big Batista's dick is. But based on Dana Brooks fawning over him, it must be pretty big. So Reigns sees Corbin getting back up to his feet. And he circles the entire length of the ring. He basically does a lap around the ring. Instead of just going over to him, let me go around the entire circumference of the ring. And he's getting ready for a spear. He's going to spear him through the barricade. But Dolph Ziggler sneaks out from underneath the ring, and he catches Reigns with a super kick, or a Superman kick, as Michael Cole called it. He was doing the same thing, by the way, Friday night on SmackDown. Superman kick. No, I apologize. It's a super kick. That's okay. I have a bigger bone to pick with Michael Cole, which I'll get to in a second. Reigns fights back. He grabs a kendo stick. He starts to beat down a lot of the other security goofs that are out there until the revival runs out. Now it's 4-on-1. You've got Corbin, Ziggler, Dash, and Dawson. They're taking out Reigns. Reigns puts the revival down with a pair of Superman punches. And he does his trademark Roman Reigns giant dive out to the floor. And he wipes out all the heels. And Michael Cole shouts, "Big Dog!" for about the 15th fucking time in this match. Ziggler cuts him off with a chair to the face. He doesn't give him a chair shot to the... Well, I guess he kind of did give him a chair shot to the face. He chucked a chair at Roman's face, which they replayed a couple times, and it smacked him right in the face. I laughed when I saw it. And then he hit him with a zigzag. That got us Big Dog mention number 16 by Michael Cole. Michael Cole needs to shut the fuck up with all of these Big Dog men. I am beyond... Beyond done with the Big Dog mentions. Enough. We get it. He's the Big Dog. Woof, woof. Move the fuck on. We don't need to hear it 25 times during the match. His name is Roman. You can call him Roman. We know who you're talking about. Holy shit, was he out of control with the Big Dog mentions tonight. It's 4-on-1 now. Reigns is outnumbered. Revival hits the Shatter Machine, and Corbin delivers the End of Days onto a chair. Is it mercilessly or mercifully? I don't know, but thank God this match was over. He pinned Roman Reigns. This feud must continue. Oh, you thought this was going to be the end of the feud, did you? You haven't been paying attention now, have you? Oh, this will continue to go on into the new year. It's like the fucking groundhog seeing his shadow and giving us 6 more weeks of winter. Here it's 6 more weeks of Roman Reigns feuding with Baron Corbin. Happy New Year, everyone. This was the most boring TLC match that I have ever seen. And Roman Reigns, by the way, has no friends. I said this the other day when I talked about the dog food segment on SmackDown and nobody came out to help him when he was cuffed to the post, and it was reinforced here tonight. Roman Reigns has no friends. The only thing I can imagine is that he must be the biggest diva in that backstage area, that nobody comes out to help him on TV when he's cuffed and smeared with dog shit or dog food. Well, same thing. And then again here, when it's like 12-on-1, nobody comes out to help him. Nobody comes out to lift a finger and offer a helping hand. 20 minutes this went. Now, I guess some people are going to say, well, these are the heels. Roman is the big babyface on SmackDown, so it's just the classic babyface having to overcome. I don't even know what I'm saying anymore. Overcome the heels. I get that. I get that's the story they're going for. How long does this feud have to go on for? And look at the people involved. Dolph Ziggler? The Revival? I like The Revival and all, but it's not as though they've been booked as any kind of threat. And Baron Corbin, and I'm supposed to be excited by this? It's a storyline for the kids, I guess. That's it. I'm not the demographic they're aiming for with this feud. So I can sit here and tell you that this was awful. I thought this was terrible. Then we had Bray Wyatt against The Miz in a non-title match. I'm very sad that we did not get Muscle Man Bray coming out doing the Muscle Man dance. It was a missed opportunity here. Instead, we got Mr. Rogers Wyatt in the sweater shirt coming down to the Firefly Funhouse song and getting loud cheers like you would think this guy was the biggest baby face in the company. Loud cheers for the man who terrorized the Miz's family on Friday and broke into their home. Miz spent much of the match here beating on Bray without Bray getting much of any offense in. Miz finally did the Pentagon arm break as Bray laughed and told him, go ahead and do it. He wanted him to do it, so he did it. And after he did, Bray rolled outside the ring and he rammed his supposedly dislocated shoulder into the barricade, I guess, to try to pop it back in like he was Mel Gibson in Lethal Weapon. So Miz follows him outside, and Wyatt ends up hitting Sister Abigail on Miz, basically slams him headfirst into the barricade. And Miz barely beat the 10 count back inside. Once he got back in, Wyatt finished him off with a second Sister Abigail, and that was it. The crowd was totally dead for this. And I think part of it, I'm not excusing it because I thought the match itself was no good. I mean, I love Bray, but I thought, you know, or what Bray is doing with these characters, but this match was no good as a match. But I think people were more just, I don't know if shocked is the right word. I mean, it was a very weird, bizarre match because this is the character that he's playing. It's got the split personality thing going. And I just think people didn't quite know how to react to it. They didn't know what to make of it. And the whole dynamic is fucked because he's supposed to be the heel terrorizing the Miz's family. The Miz is supposed to be the sympathetic babyface. And it's like nobody cared. And the only person they cheered for was Bray. And that was really just at the beginning of the match when he first came out. And then they were quiet. They didn't know what to do. They didn't know how to react. So that hurt the match. But let's be honest here. The match itself was really no good. And I was a little surprised. I mean, I guess I could see they don't want to beat Bray. That's fine. But I did think that Brian, I did say Brian would show up, which he did. I thought he might show up and factor into the finish. And I figured as involved in this feud as Miz has been, that it's not the Fiend, right? It's just Bray. And if Brian comes back, it leads to Miz getting a win. That keeps Miz involved. And maybe it leads to a triple threat at the Royal Rumble, because Miz and Bryan don't like each other either. Now, I don't mind if they're just going to do Bryan and The Fiend. That's fine with me. But I was surprised that here, you know, here's the Miz, who's supposed to be defending the honor of his family. He relocated his family. It's like they got a bomb threat or something. He relocated his family, he said, just in case, because he didn't know what Bray Wyatt might do. So now he's out for revenge. Yet he comes out and he's doing all of his poses to, you know, during his entrance and everything. Does nobody pay attention to these little, I mean, I know they're like little minor nitpicks, but does nobody pay attention to this stuff? Like, why wasn't Miz like kind of crouched in the aisleway, just waiting for Bray to come out, and then just pounces on him as soon as he walks out there and beats the piss out of him? I mean, this guy put creepy dolls in your daughter's crib. But the Miz has to pose. It's like Hogan back in the day. Hogan had to pose. Didn't matter what was going on. Hulk Hogan had to pose. Miz is no Hulk Hogan. So the lights started to go out. And we see the Fiend on the Jumbotron. Doesn't say anything. We just see the Fiend's face. And the lights start to flicker and go out. And Bray gets all excited because he thought the Fiend was going to come out. Instead, it turned out to be a hooded Daniel Bryan. And I should mention, even before I get to the Daniel Bryan part, because I actually missed a part here. So when he first saw the Fiend on the screen, Bray said, "Okay, I'll do it," as if it's some kind of communication that the Fiend is sending to Bray. And Bray goes under the ring and he grabs a giant mallet that he's used on the Firefly Funhouse before. Not only has he used the mallet on the Funhouse, we've seen him use it or not use it, but we've seen it used in a match before. If you remember that awful, horrendous Hell in a Cell match back in October. Michael Cole pretended like he had never seen this mallet before. What is that? He couldn't believe what he was seeing. It's like he had never seen this before in his life, even though he called the match between the Fiend and Seth Rollins at Hell in a Cell. I will give him a pass on this, though, just because if I were him, I'd want to forget that match, too. So then the lights flickered, and this is when the lights came back on. There was a hooded figure in the ring. It was a hooded Daniel Bryan who hit the running knee. And then pull down the hood on his hoodie to reveal me, apparently. Or at least that's what you would think based on all the tweets I got. I took one look at my timeline. You would think Orange Cassidy walked out here at TLC. Or Jack Swagger or any other number of white guys I've been compared to before. Solomonster, why are you attacking Bray Wyatt? But the American Dragon is back. Daniel Bryan legitimately looks at least 10 years younger with the buzz cut and the trimmed beard. He looks like The Miz should be his pro again on NXT. It's unbelievable what a shave and a haircut can do for a guy. He looks like he did when he first came into the company. It's unbelievable. So Brian hits a bunch of running drop kicks in the corner. He hits one more running knee before grabbing the giant mallet. And he is going to kill. He's going to murder Bray Wyatt. And thank you, by the way, for was it Cliff in the chat who pointed out that it was Vic Joseph who did commentary on the Hell in a Cell match. Even still, Michael Cole should know better. This happened on their own pay-per-view. Does he not pay attention? Don't make excuses for Michael Cole. No, I'm just kidding. But thank you for pointing that out. So the lights go out, though, before Brian can use the mallet. And when they come back on, Bray is gone. The crowd was silent for the actual match, but the post-match was fun. And now we get Bryan and the Fiend again, I assume, at the Royal Rumble. Either that or, look, I suppose they could do a deal where Bryan wins the Royal Rumble and he goes to WrestleMania and is the first person to beat the Fiend. I wouldn't even do that. And I'm not even convinced that Bryan should be the first person to beat the Fiend. I'm not even totally convinced the Fiend should lose at WrestleMania. I think you could probably keep it going even longer. But my guess is they do the match at the Royal Rumble, and either Bryan just loses again, or they do some kind of fuck finish that leads to one more match at the following pay-per-view. We are going to let me just put this up on the screen just so you guys can. Well, that's from last month. That's from last month. I'm still in Survivor Series mode here. Let me change this for you. We are going to do that calls a little bit later. We're not going to get to that yet. That's coming up a little bit later. We'll take a few here before we end. But I just want to get it up on the screen so everybody can see it and be aware of it. There we go. See? Now I'm on top of things here. And thank you to Ryan earlier for the $5 super chat that I missed. And James Hollins, who said, dream match for him is Keith Lee against Mr. Rogers Wyatt at SummerSlam 2020. I don't know about dream match. I think people throw that word around a little too much, but I don't know, Keith Lee and Mr. Rogers Wyatt? Why not The Fiend? I think that would be kind of interesting. Shout out to everybody who is joining me right now. We got a lot of people listening live. So thank you, as always, for the support as we move on here to Rusev and Bob Lashley in a tables match. Lashley grabbed a kendo stick about midway through the match, and he attacked Rusev with it. And Rusev, of course, eventually he got control, and he grabbed the kendo stick, and he used it on Lashley. So Rusev gives Lashley a super kick, or a machka kick. And then Lana gets in, and she jumps on Rusev's back. And she's raking his eyes and trying to blind this poor bastard. So then she hops off, and Lashley goes to spear Rusev through a table that was propped up in the corner, which clearly was supposed to break, and did not. I am the table. And I thought to myself, you know, this botchka was a metaphor in many ways for this entire feud. Lashley at least had the sense to suplex Rusev through a table that was also set up in the opposite corner, and that did break. And so Lashley wins. No surprise, I had picked Lashley to win. You knew they weren't going to end this, right? Rusev already got what he wanted. He got his divorce. He got his match. They weren't going to give him the win. This, much like Roman Reigns and Baron Corbin, is going to continue into the new year. This was bad. This was a bad match. There really wasn't much to it. It was just largely a bore. We see the Street Profits in the back doing a promo when all of a sudden they're interrupted by this brawl that's happening off screen, and then we see Roman Reigns and Baron Corbin are going at it. We see, I think it was Chad Gable. I believe it was Chad Gable. He was brawling with Buddy Murphy. And Big E, I think, was going at it with Dolph Ziggler. The Revival was there. Kofi was there. Just a random brawl. Nothing to see here. They also announced that Randy Orton is going to meet AJ Styles tomorrow night on Monday Night Raw. So that should be good. I think we've seen them. I want to say they've had only about two matches before, right? I think both were on SmackDown. I don't think they've ever wrestled on Raw before, so that I guess that would be a first. And they headlined the pay-per-view with the women's tag team titles on the line in a tables, ladders, and chairs match with Asuka and Kairi Sane defending against Charlotte Flair and Becky Lynch. Second year in a row that Charlotte, Becky, and Asuka are involved in headlining a TLC pay-per-view. If I remember correctly, I believe the three of them had what I thought was a very good ladder match, very good TLC match last year. That was the one where Ronda Rousey came down and pushed the ladder over with Charlotte and Becky on it, and Asuka won the championship. Unfortunately, I cannot say the same for this year's match. This was not as good as the match from last year. This was actually a massive disappointment. And while I don't agree with Booker T that the handicap match with Charlotte and the Kabuki Warriors 2 weeks ago was the match of the frickin' year, I won't say that, I did think it was a very good match. I didn't think the match with Becky was all that good. But I thought to myself, I look at the women who were involved here, and I said, this could turn out to be pretty damn good. They give them time. They work off the stipulation. There's a lot of talent involved here. Asuka and Kairi and Charlotte, you know, when she's in the ring with the right people, and Becky when she's in the ring with the right people, like she had that kick-ass Hell in a Cell match with Sasha Banks. This has the potential to possibly be a show stealer. And unfortunately, they did not steal the show. In fact, looking back at it now, this should not have been the main event. You couldn't have known that going in, that they would have a clunker. But that's what this was, in my opinion. The Line Drive, thank you. Wow, $20 super chat. Super chat on a poll. He thought that this show was terrible. And Charlotte, not realizing that Kairi was concussed, put her in danger. Now, was she concussed? Because I wasn't sure about that. And I, you know what, let me check real quick before we even go on here. Because I did not see an injury report. I hope she's not concussed. I did not see an injury report on Kairi Sane. But these women, I will say, they took a beating here in this match. The thing about this match was, it just was very, I don't know, it was very sloppy to me. I don't know, there was just a lot, there was some botches, and there was just some tentative, there was one point where Charlotte was throwing, I think it was Charlotte was throwing a chair shot. It looked like Lance Storm, the first time he came to ECW. There's like this classic chair shot, I think maybe to RVD, I forgot the match, that looked awful, because he didn't want to hurt the other person. He didn't know how to throw a chair, and it looked terrible, and this looked terrible too. But anyway, so I don't see any injury updates yet on Kyrie, so I mean, you guys can update me in the chat if they post something. I hope she's not hurt, but you know, you watch a show like this, it's almost impossible to come out of this show not having injuries, which is one of the reasons I hate TLC pay-per-views. I hate having these gimmick pay-per-views. I don't mind having a TLC match. It's kind of like Hell in a Cell. When there's a feud that warrants a Hell in a Cell, by all means, put them in the cell and let them go at it. But this notion of, well, it's October, well, it's December, that means it's TLC, and you've got to beat the shit out of each other with tables and chairs and take ridiculous bumps for no freaking reason in front of a half-dead crowd. I'm not a fan of that. I actually kind of feel sorry for a lot of these guys and these women having to do that. By the way, I also saw that Taz was not very happy with something that Corey Graves posted. What else is new? Corey Graves had posted a picture earlier in the day, like midday, of Vic Joseph and Samoa Joe. Now, there have been comparisons made to Samoa Joe. He kind of looks like Taz. He's the new Taz on commentary. Haha. So Corey Graves puts a picture up of the two of them. And he says, new and improved, Taz and Cole. And Taz responded. He said, gee whiz, new and improved? I wish them the best of luck. But if they are the duo after years of shows, then it's a fair comparison. Michael Cole and I battled for every opportunity as a team. Hashtag dues paid. Jokes aren't funny when pulled on someone who doesn't work there anymore. Therefore, if it's a joke, then I'm not in on it. I don't appreciate being the brunt of a joke from a current announcer, especially with the big social media following that Corey Graves has. I'm out here and he's not. All right, well, Taz was... That's actually the least offensive thing I've seen in the last few weeks from Corey Graves, who has posted a lot of dumb shit. But Taz apparently not a fan of the jokes. So there you go. Corey Graves pissing everybody off, it seems like. So anyway, if you guys hear about the condition of the people in the main event, you guys can let me know. But as I said, I hope they're not hurt. I hope Kyrie is not concussed and there's no injury. So Charlotte and Becky, they're going after... They're really just going after these women at the beginning here. And Kyrie had tried to hide under the ring. So they find her, and they're pulling her out from underneath the ring. And Kyrie has a fire extinguisher. And she blasts the two of them in the face. That was great. That might have been the best part of the whole match. I thought that little reveal there was excellent. So then Asuka shows up with a rope. Or a bull rope or something. I don't know. It's a very odd thing to find. And she's swinging that rope around, and she almost hit Kyrie in the head with it. She's like the Ultimate Warrior out there, swinging that rope around. So then they grab Becky Lynch, and they tie her down with the rope. They tie her down to the ladder. So now she's out of commission, and Charlotte's all by herself. And they're going after Charlotte, and Charlotte, of course, comes at them. She has to, you know, get the big comeback, and she hits him with the kendo stick, and throws Asuka into a bunch of steel chairs, and she just flung Kyrie Sane into the barricade, just hurled her into the barricade. And you know what, come to think of it, maybe if she did suffer a concussion, I bet it was on that bump, because I remember watching that thinking, boy, that looked bad. Boy, did that look bad. Kyrie is a tiny woman. You throw her, you got to make sure that you know where she's landing here. So if she got concussed, I'll bet you anything it was on that bump there into the barricade. So Charlotte goes over to Becky, and she's trying to untie her from the ladder, but then Asuka comes over, hits her with a chair. Eventually, Becky got herself untied all by herself. There was a cool spot here where, as she's tied down, Kyrie Sane comes off, I think it was the apron, with an elbow drop. And Becky got her knees up, or got her feet up. And she kind of swatted Kyrie away, and she broke free from the ropes. This is after Charlotte had loosened them for her. So she lays Asuka on a table, And Becky gives her a diving, I guess it's supposed to be a diving leg drop, but this was more like a diving butt drop. Maybe she's giving those to Seth Rollins every night. Yeah, good for him. So she gives her a diving butt drop through the off the ropes, down through the table, knock the wind right out of her. And they try to put Kyrie through a table, but she countered, and she dropped the both of them with a double DDT. So this is going on and on, and again, there's just a lot of, sloppiness here, and the people aren't really into it. At one point, I think Charlotte and Becky even got boos. I don't know what that was for. I don't know if the people were just bored or what was going on. The people weren't into it. I really wasn't into it. It was just moves for the sake of moves. This just wasn't working. This just wasn't very good. There was another mess here where Charlotte tried to go spear Kairi Sane, and somehow that got fucked up. I don't know what happened. And Charlotte muscled Kairi up into a power bomb through a table on the outside. It took every muscle in her body. She struggled so much to get this woman up for this power bomb, but she did. She eventually got her up. I mean, Kairi's not that big, so it shouldn't have been that hard. But she got her up and she power bombed her through the table. So Asuka gave Charlotte a German suplex and threw a table on top of Becky. Charlotte and Becky fought back with some chairs. I think this is where the boos came in. Again, I'm not sure why they were booing, but they may have thought the match sucked. That could just have been the very simple reason. They just were not into this. So Charlotte went up for her wonderful moonsault. Asuka went after her, power bombed her through a table on the outside. Charlotte grabbed the back of her head, and Becky gave Asuka an exploder, not once but twice, into a ladder that was laying up against the barricade outside. And Becky climbs a ladder. She's this close to getting her hands on the championship, on the tag team titles. Asuka yanks the ladder down. This is a ladder that had the rope tied to it, and so it factored into the finish here. Asuka grabbed the rope. She yanked the ladder. Becky fell off. Asuka climbed up. She grabbed the belts. And the scene at the end of the TLC pay-per-view for 2 years in a row is the exact same scene. Last year, it was Asuka standing tall as the new women's champion on top of the ladder. And here, Asuka yet again is standing on top of the ladder with the championships. 2 years in a row. That's about the only thing I liked about this. So, very conveniently, as soon as the match is over, that giant brawl that we saw earlier on backstage spills out into the arena. Very convenient they waited until the main event ended. How nice of these guys. How nice of them. So the brawl spills out into the building, and Roman Reigns, they did a spot here where Roman Reigns spears Corbin off of a little platform and everybody falls. Like he speared Corbin and then everybody just sort of fell down. I thought this was stupid. I thought on the whole this pay-per-view was a thumbs down. I really didn't think I was going to come into this show giving it a thumbs down. I mean, it's hard to get a thumbs down on a TLC show. It really is. But then again, it's also hard to fuck up Hell in a Cell and somehow they managed to do that. What a 2019 it has been for WWE on this, the final pay-per-view of the year. And in many ways, thank God for that. Twitter poll is still open for those of you who want to vote. Let's take a look at what the results are so far. I'm genuinely curious. I have not looked at the poll yet. Ever since I put it up, I have not looked at it. Maybe I'm in the minority and you guys like the show a lot more than I did. Let's take a look here. Here's the Twitter poll. Let's take a look at these results so far. Nope, there we go. See, I knew I wasn't crazy. Over 1,700 votes so far. 32% thumbs up, 68% thumbs down. So clearly I am not in the minority on this. And that's a shame. It's too bad that this is the final pay-per-view of the year. And they have to go out with a overall thumbs down effort unless there's some miraculous comeback here in these results. We will end the year here with a thumbs down show. And that's tough to do. I don't know what else to say about it, but that's a difficult thing to do. So, look, again, I cannot look at this show and that main event that we got and the stuff with Bray and Miz, which, it's character development, I guess, but the match was a fail. The open challenge was a fail. Rusev and Lashley was just boring. Corbin and Roman was the most boring TLC match I've ever seen. Find me a more boring one. I mean, there may have been one. I'm just not remembering it. Did you really find that TLC match exciting? I just rattled off the last four or five matches of the pay-per-view. Can you really call this a thumbs-up show? If they stopped after the first two matches, I guess you could have given it a thumbs-up. But let's see what you guys thought. Let's take some calls. This should be interesting. Let's take some calls here, see what you guys thought about the show tonight. We'll start with 559. You're on the air.
Orange Cassidy, my man.
Freshly squeezed here on this Sunday night.
Yeah, it's Elijah from Fresno.
Hey, Elijah, how are you?
How are you, man? I didn't actually watch the show.
Well, lucky you.
I'm catching up. I haven't been watching WWE in a while. So.
Well, did you have any quick thoughts, at least, on any of the match outcomes that you heard about tonight?
Yeah, actually, I do, since you were talking about it. You know, you're saying that this Roman Corbin feud will probably drag on a little bit longer. Knowing WWE's track record, they'll probably put on something like another Kennel from Hell match, dude.
Yeah, you know what? At this point, I wouldn't be surprised. You know, we have a feud with dog food and people in dog costumes. I'm surprised they didn't do a dog collar match here on this pay-per-view.
Oh, jeez.
Anyway, anything else to offer here before we move along?
Nah, I just had to say that, man. Right. You have a good night.
All right, you too, man. Dog collar, Matt. What other dog stipulations can they do? Right, dog collar is an easy one. Kennel from Hell? I hadn't thought about that. I guess they could if they really wanted to. I mean, it would be apropos for this feud. Kennel from Hell. What other dog stipulations can we come up with? A dog shit match? Didn't Rock and British Bulldog have a dog shit match once? I thought they did, maybe at No Mercy or something. He gave him a rock bottom onto a plate of dog shit. Literally, a plate of dog shit. That's where this feud belongs. That's how this feud should end. And both guys fall onto the plate of dog shit. Let's go to 980. You're on the air. 980 going once. 980 going twice. Well, we tried. Where's that Bart Simpson gif? At least you tried. Let's go to 469. You're on the air.
Hello?
Hello.
Oh, I wanted to say happy early Christmas, Mr. Saw Monster.
Thank you.
I didn't get a chance to see the show. You know, even though the pay-per-view is, they can give it to me for free. I just don't want to do that.
Man, all these people who are calling in, they didn't even watch the pay-per-view. I mean, I'm wondering now if anybody watched the pay-per-view tonight.
No, but I did go to that AEW show in Dallas, and it was incredible. And I saw a lot of people that took your advice, maybe four or five light green posters. So good job on that.
Thank you. Well, I got to cut you. This is not an AEW stream, for God's sakes. But I will reiterate what I said, as he mentioned, a few weeks ago. And this doesn't just go for Sala Monster signs, although they're always great. If you are going to any of these shows and you want to bring a sound-off sign, that's awesome. But whatever sign you're going to bring, if you really want to get it seen, you want to get it on TV, you can't be doing these signs that are just white or like a dark color, black or something like that. You got to do it on like a bright yellow or like a neon green or something. And, you know, as long as you're within camera range, it'll be impossible not to see your sign on TV. So that's it. I mean, I thought that was just common sense, but I see so many signs that people do and it's like hard to see. Then again, my vision isn't that great anymore, so. Let's go to 423. Is this Chattanooga?
Yes, hey, Jason. This is me, James. How you doing?
I'm good, James. How are you?
Been all right, man. I watched the pay-per-view, too, and I thought it was it sucked.
Well, you're not the only one who felt that way.
I'm glad. I think, you know, Vince is just, he's more with stupid because he's giving you the same bullshit. Sorry for my language, but saying the same bullshit. That's why I ain't gonna lie to you. I'm more look forward to Wednesday. Wednesday's my wrestling, you know. But it just what I thought I would say that to you.
Yeah, Wednesday's great. Now, that NXT show, I'm seriously considering doing an NXT live stream review instead of AEW this week, just because I don't want to miss out on the two big matches on NXT. So we'll wait until Wednesday and we'll see. But Wednesday's awesome.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, it is. And I hope you have good holidays, Jason, and keep doing your thing, bro.
Thank you, my friend. Happy holidays to you as well. I very much appreciate that. That was a nice caller there. Let's go to the ATL, right? Is that what they call it? Area code 678.
Yo, Solid Monster, what's up?
What's going on?
Nothing, man, Sean. This is your boy Trey, the former Mr. Dave Fucking.
Well, please tell me that you actually watched the pay-per-view tonight.
I did, sadly. Look, I was originally going to watch Power Rangers, but I was like, you know what?
Power Rangers.
I watched the review, but I wish I watched Power Rangers, basically.
I didn't even know Power Rangers were still... Are they still a thing? Are they still on? I didn't even know they were still on TV anymore.
I mean, they are. I was going to watch the old ones, the Mighty Morphin, you know. But this interview is boring. I feel like they made Miz look like a chump. I mean, Bray went after his family and...
Well, they always make Miz look like a chump. I mean, they made Miz look like a chump in that Shane McMahon feud. Why would this be any different?
He never recovered from that.
You know that, right? He never recovered from that feud.
I don't think he's ever going to recover. So I think he's just retired right now and go acting like he always wanted to.
Well, I wouldn't say that. Look, John Morrison is coming back, and I said this on the show. It might have been today. I don't even remember anymore. That Morrison's going to come. He should go to SmackDown, and they can get a few months out of doing stuff again with Miz and Morrison. Maybe do a little reunion, and then they can split them up. At least that would give Miz something to do for a few months.
I mean, yeah, but like, let's be honest. Who wants to see a face Miz and Morris tag team? Like,
it won't work.
But
not meant to be a long term thing. But you know, for a little while on SmackDown, and they could do singles as well. You know, do a few tag matches here and there, just for old time's sake. I don't think that would be a terrible thing. I mean, what else are they going to do with Morrison? I'm kind of worried about what they're going to do with him if they don't do the Miz idea. What are they going to do? They're going to feud him with R-Truth or something for the 24/7 title?
I just want Morrison to go NXT, to be honest. I mean, the best match is Morrison versus Adam Cole, Morrison versus Finn Balor, Morrison versus Tommaso Ciampa, Morrison versus Keith. There's a lot of, like...
Let me ask you a question. Were you drinking during the pay-per-view tonight?
I was.
Okay, I thought so. Okay, go ahead, continue.
Do you blame me?
Not at all. I think it's great. I was just curious.
Yeah, but and just like you, I thought like either the Usos or AOP went after the open challenge, and yeah, the OC was disappointing. This whole pay-per-view was disappointing, to be honest. I wish I watched Power Rangers.
All right, well, listen, I got to let you go, but thank you for the call. That was very interesting. And I legitimately did not know that Power Rangers was still on the air. I thought they were just showing replays of the old show from when I was younger. But, I mean, I wasn't that young that I was really into it. My brother was. But I'm sure the Power Rangers were more enjoyable than much of this pay-per-view tonight. I don't doubt that. Let's go out west. Area code 707. You're on the air.
Yeah, what's up, Solid Monster?
What's going on?
Long-time fan, first-time caller.
Thank you.
Man, I got to say, the pay-per-view, I agree with everything you said. It was, for the most part, boring, except for the first two matches. Who knew that Aleister Black and Buddy Murphy were going to put on just a stellar match? That was incredible. But as for the main event, it didn't have much of a flow, not much storytelling, just putting their bodies on the line for the sake of, I guess, our entertainment, but a lot of it, you know, fell flat, too many botched spots, no flow, no real storytelling. Everything in that match just sort of fell flat, which kind of, I was hoping that match would be great because you've got four of the best women in the company in the main event of the last pay-per-view of the year. You expect them to go out there and tear the house down, and then we get that. It kind of just, I don't know, killed the whole, well, I mean, it didn't kill the mood for me, and the mood was already killed, but it just, you know, it was a thin nail in the coffin to a bad pay-per-view, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I get it, and again, it's too bad, because you know, I came into the show with an open mind, but remember, this is a pay-per-view that was, think of the promotion for this, think of how lackadaisical the buildup for this was. We didn't even have a card until what, 6 days ago?
True, very true.
So, yeah, unfortunately, I was kind of hoping this would be one of those shows that you go into it with kind of low expectations. It's like, all right, you know, I almost forgot there was even a pay-per-view this weekend, and then they just blow you away. Unfortunately, I wanted to blow my brains out. They didn't blow me away. It was a different kind of blowing that happened tonight, unfortunately, and not the pleasurable kind. So, hey, sometimes that happens.
All right, see, man, thanks. I appreciate your time, bro.
Okay, thank you. Boy, he got out of here quickly after that. I don't blame him. All right, let's take a few more, and then I'm having fun. Let's take a few more. I'm having more fun now than I was watching the pay-per-view. Let's go to area code 704. You're on the air.
Hey, someone wants this. Cameron, how you doing?
Hey, Cameron, how are you?
I'm doing good. Watching this pay-per-view tonight, I think I came to the realization of, do you think WWE, instead of doing TLC tonight, just should have built to a special edition of Raw and SmackDown where they do the matches we had at TLC tonight, but they just do it on Raw or SmackDown?
Not really, just because, I mean, the matches they did tonight had all of the TLC stipulations. So if you're saying do TLC matches on TV, I don't even know that you needed to do TLC matches at all. What match on this pay-per-view really necessitated TLC as a stipulation? That's why I hate these gimmick pay-per-views. But could you have built to almost like a Raw Super Show? By Super Show, I don't mean mixing the brands, but like a Raw Super Show, a SmackDown Super Show type deal, maybe around New Year's, where you promote like two pay-per-view quality matches on there. Yeah, I think that could have been a good idea. That would have been one way to draw eyeballs onto the TV shows. I mean, TLC to me is just a totally unnecessary... I mean, I assume they do them because they're still making money off them. But this is one of these meaningless pay-per-views. If they did away with it forever, I wouldn't mind. I have no use for these shows. These stupid gimmick shows. See, Elimination Chamber is one that doesn't bother me because it does factor into the whole... Like the Rumble factors into the whole WrestleMania build. So I'm okay with some of them, but most of them are just completely and utterly useless. And I wish they would get rid of them. Let's go to New England, area code 508. You're on the air.
Hey, Salamanca, great show tonight. The TLC.
Yes, TLC, indeed. What did you think of the show?
The women's matches I really liked. The whole Roman Reigns, King Corbin was wild.
Yes, it was. Was there a match that you thought was the best, and was there a match that you thought was the worst?
The Raw tag team title match was worse.
I agree.
And the women's tag match was a great way to end the pay-per-view.
You thought it was a great way to end the pay-per-view. Why is that?
The craziness and the brawl that ended the pay-per-view.
I see. So you enjoyed the end of the show tonight?
Yeah, it was better than Ring of Honor Final Battle.
Well, I can't dispute that. I actually did see that PCO match with Roosh, and it was a very, shall we say, a very interesting match. I think it probably went about 15 minutes longer than it should have, so... Maybe it was better than the end of the final battle. I don't. Maybe that's true. But I didn't think the end of tonight's show was very good at all.
Well, I wrote on your Solo Monster page my predictions for 2020, and I also posted a question: what's the chances of Nyla Rose, Sunny Kiss, Jungle Boy, and Marco Stunt ever going to WWE?
I don't know. I don't see that happening. Right now they're pretty happy where they are, so I think they're going to stay put right where they are. But thank you. Any other TLC thoughts though before I let you go, since we're focusing on the pay-per-view? Anything else from TLC?
Well, the SmackDown tag match was great to kick off the show.
Yes, it was. That was an awesome match. That might have been my... it was either that or Aleister Black's match were one of my favorite matches on the pay-per-view. So I agree with you on that.
But I didn't watch the pregame show because I was watching AAA Triple Mania Regala?
Well, I will tell you this as I let you go. The kickoff match was Andrade and Humberto, and they had a good match. So if you've got a few minutes to spare, I'm sure it's probably archived and up on the network, and you can go back there and check that match out. Why don't we wind down here? We'll do one or two more. Let's go to our nation's capital, area code 202. You're on the air.
Yes, yes. Before I start, what do you think about Orange Cassidy fighting Chris Jericho for the AEW title?
I think it's inevitable that Orange Cassidy will fight Chris Jericho for the AEW title. But see, he's got to work his way up the rankings first. He doesn't even qualify for the rankings. He can't get a championship match.
Yeah. Yeah, man, I feel you. But so far, TLC, not a good way to end the year if there's another pay-per-view coming on the way.
Not a great way at all. Hopefully the Rumble will wash the stink of this and Hell in a Cell and some of these awful shows out of our mouths. And, you know, look, New Year, what do they say? New Year, new me? I hate people who say that. But they're going to turn over a new leaf soon. They're going to start fresh. And I'm sure we're going to be probably complaining about the same shit. But, you know, I always give them the benefit of the doubt. I don't know why I do. But hopefully they will start strong in 2020.
Hopefully. I'm kind of done with WWE, though.
Well, I've heard that from a lot of people. You're not the only one. Any other? But any other quick thoughts here before I let you go and move on?
I think they need to stop main eventing the women, actually.
You know, I will say this. The Survivor Series, they headlined with Becky, Bayley, and Shayna. And I was disappointed with that match. That was not what I thought was really a good match. So this is the second month in a row now that I think the women have, you know, look, the women have underperformed. But then you go back to October and look at Hell in a Cell. Look at what the men did in the main event with The Fiend and Rollins. When was the last really good, like, excellent WWE pay-per-view main event that we had? What was the main event in September? I don't even remember what the main event in September was.
It's just been so shitty. I can't remember shit, actually.
I don't remember. I'm trying to even SummerSlam. What was the SummerSlam main event this year? Was it Rollins and Lesnar? Because I thought Rollins and Lesnar opened the show, unless I'm thinking of WrestleMania.
Yeah, I can't even think about it.
This is awful. I can't remember anything as far as these.
Kind of brutal, actually.
But you know what's funny about that? If you were to ask me, probably, hey, what was the main event of, like, SummerSlam in 1988? I could tell you right away. It was the Mega Powers and the Mega Bucks. Like, that I can remember.
Yeah.
Kind of sad. Anyway, I'm going to let you go. Thank you, though, for the call. I don't remember what the main event was. Let me see in the chat. Maybe somebody can remind me here. What was the main event of SummerSlam this year? I don't remember. It wasn't Becky, was it? I got to take a look at this now. This is going to drive me nuts now if I don't figure this out. SummerSlam, it wasn't that long ago either. Either my mind is going or maybe it was a bad match. I'm just trying to block it out of my mind. Let's see here. Main event of SummerSlam this year. It was Rollins and Lesnar. Okay, it was Rollins and Lesnar after all. And what about the September pay-per-view? I don't even remember what the name of the pay-per-view in September even was. Nor do I care. Let's do one more. Let's go to a fellow New Yorker. Let's go to area code 315. You're on the air.
Hi, how you doing, Solo Monster? 4-year fan. Early happy holidays regards to you, my man.
Thank you. Same to you, sir.
I found it very apropos to my other iteration of my name, Lebenezer Scrooge. I found it piss poor and insufferable.
Well,
but
let me ask you this. Was there one match that you enjoyed more than any other on the show?
It's one redeeming trait was definitely Aleister Black, definitely. I agree. I had no doubt about it.
I agree. Well, what did you think, though, of the SmackDown Tag Team title match that opened the show?
Nah, I ain't do it for me. I mean, it looked like Dash did hurt his knee. I thought I was coming in with my plate of food and all that when Kofi had jumped over the rope, and they Dash and Dawson, whatever their names is, was holding the ladder, and the ladder came down on Dash's knee. It looked like it shattered his knee, but I don't know. But nah, it just didn't do it for me, man. It really didn't. It was. Nobody got their comeuppance for anything. I mean, Rusev. I mean, Roman. I'm not a Roman fan at all. Miz. Nobody got payback.
That's actually, you know what? That's actually a great point. If you look up and down the card, all the people that were coming in looking for revenge about this, that, or the other, they all failed. Rusev failed. Roman failed. Miz failed. I mean, I guess you could say Charlotte and Becky. They've been tortured by the Kabuki Warriors the last few weeks. They failed. All these baby faces are failures. They all suck. It's no wonder they can't get baby faces over. They never win. It's a very heel-heavy show in that way. Let's say one more. Let's go to San Antone. I think it's San Antone. Area code 210. You're on the air.
Silent Monster, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. First-time caller. Name's Jurgen, by the way.
Thank you for calling in. What did you think of the show tonight?
I didn't watch it, to be honest with you.
Oh, well,
silly
me for thinking you watched the pay-per-view.
I didn't really watch it because there was so little to no build to it. And I'm thinking to myself, you know what? Okay, this, like, what the hell? You know, with Aleister Black being in a closet, and next thing you know, you're hearing a knock on the door saying, oh, I want to pick a fight. Let's do this. In less than what? Less than a week? Less than that, I think.
Well, they've been building that matchup for a while. I actually think that match was, and even the build up to it was fine. I'm happy he's out of the room and he's wrestling now. And I said it earlier, I think these two have the potential. It'll take a while, but I think these two can be the future of that brand. This was the first in what it was a decisive win for Aleister, but I have to think that they'll maybe continue this for a little while longer. And they were one of the shining beacons on the show tonight. So,
yes, I think the match between Aleister and Buddy Murphy and the New Day and Revival was the best part of the show.
But you said you didn't see the show.
Well, I saw like highlights of it.
Okay. All right. Well, that's fair enough. I mean, that seems to be the consensus here on this show tonight. So thank you for that. And let's see here. Calls keep coming in. I want to take, let's see here. Let's go to Colorado. Let's go to area code 970. You're on the air.
Hey, Jason, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Hey, I just have a quick question about the botched powerbomb spot with Charlotte, and apparently she gave Kyrie a receipt for it, and Kyrie has a concussion. I was just wondering your thoughts on, like, the year Charlotte has had. It seems like she's really regressed in the ring. That's kind of unusual for someone, like, 6 years into their career to regress.
Yeah, it's weird because, you know, Charlotte is good. She's very good. We've seen her have very good matches. It was a year ago at Survivor Series. She had one of the best WWE matches all year with Ronda Rousey. And that was a last-minute decision. I mean, they had about a week heads-up that they were even doing that match. And I thought they killed it. And we've seen Charlotte and Becky have great matches, and Charlotte and Asuka, so it's not that she can't have a great match. But yeah, I would say, you know, you watch her sometimes now, and that might be a good word for it. It kind of looks sometimes like she's almost regressed. She keeps doing that stupid moonsault, you know, and I'll keep bringing it up, because we saw a moonsault in the very first match of the show tonight on the kickoff, which is to say, we get a lot of moonsaults on WWE television. We got one in the kickoff match. Then we had two of them in the Aleister Black match and a whole bunch of other ones. And my whole thing is this. If you are on the roster And there are a bunch of other people. Gable's another one. Lacey Evans is another one. Who do the same exact move that you do, and they do it better than you. Why do you insist on continuing to do the same move and making it look inferior? Charlotte is a very athletic woman. She has that corkscrew dive she'll do out to the floor. That's fine. She has a bunch of other moves that she does. The moonsault just, it looks terrible. The way she over-rotates and everything. She's got, I don't know if it's the long legs. I know she used to be a gymnast. Maybe that has something to do with it. But that's another thing about her that bothers me. But she's been very bipolar, I think, in terms of her matches. The handicap match 2 weeks ago. Great stuff. A lot of other matches you could look at and say, what the hell happened? What happened with this woman? Maybe she's not motivated. Maybe she's unhappy. You know, they had the story a few weeks ago where her and Andrade, they were trademarking their names and stuff. And you look at that and go, all right, whatever. It's not necessarily a sign of anything, but what if it is? What if it is a sign of something? Maybe she's looking to the future. Maybe Charlotte does not see her future long-term in WWE. Maybe she's bored. I think Corey Graves made that comment on his little podcast a few weeks ago. I want my queen back, he said. What a loser. I want my queen back. But, in that stupid rant that he went on, I think he made the point, I think it was him, who made the point. What's going on with Charlotte? And it's almost like she's bored. Maybe that's part of it. It's not like she has a whole lot of competition. So I think that's a great point that you make. And we'll end with, I promise we will, if this works, with area code 561. You're on the air.
Tyler Monster, what's going on? How you doing, brother?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. I'm actually at work right now, about got like 20 more minutes before we close.
I can hear
it. Love listening to your podcast. Love listening to your podcast. And listened to it since the TV track day back in 2012 when I first heard of you.
Oh, wow.
And love your reviews. It's wrong with my work. It makes me work over a lot faster than if I didn't listen to you at all. I didn't watch the show, but I do have a question I want to ask.
Sure.
What do you feel that in 2020, because you always hear about the shit that AEW and WWE needs to improve on. What are some of the things that going into 2020 that you think that they are good at, that they should continue to do? Because, like, you hear all the time fans always complaining, oh, I wish they did this better, I wish they did that better. But you never hear about the good shit that they're good at. So what do you think that going into 2020, that what they are doing good, that keeps the attention of fans, they should continue to do?
Are you talking about WWE or AEW?
You know, whether it's WWE or AEW, as far as like stateside goes, because we know New Japan is good. They not really much they got to improve on, you know, but just things that are good as far as what WWE and AEW are doing to try to keep their fan base.
Sure. No, I think that's a good that's actually a good one, I think, to end on here. I mean, as far as AEW is concerned, one thing they got to fix is their audio. They've had audio issues at the beginning of, think of every show they've done the last month. So that's something I hope they fix. And if it's not them and it's TNT, then TNT better get their ass in check there and fix that. The other thing is their women's division. Their women's division, they have a lot of women under contract. I was reading all the names off on the podcast earlier. They had more women under contract than I thought. But their women's division is really the weak spot right now on their show. So I think they need to shore that up and improve that and, you know, kind of focus on it more, but it's also the quality of the women they have. And I think if you get some really kick-ass matches in that division on TV, like the tag team division, that division can turn into kind of a must-see feature for AEW. So that would be another area I think they can improve on. As far as, you know, WWE, I mean, how many hours do we have here? As far as the areas to improve on. And a lot of it really falls on the booking. It's not even on the talent per se. But it's on how the talent is used. They've got to do a better job of using the pieces and the players that they already have. They've got this ginormous roster of talent. Why are people calling into the show every week and sending me emails and sending me tweets saying that they've given up on WWE? It doesn't make sense. Think of the disconnect here. Look at the talent they have. Look at the size of the roster they have. So why are more and more people, and you heard some of them tonight, why are more and more people saying, I've given up on WWE? I don't watch WWE anymore. I just listen to your show. Why? Something is going on here. Something is wrong. And that's what they have to get to the root cause of. We know what the root cause is. Everything runs through one person. So if that's not going to change, which it won't, then what else can they do? You know, it's just a matter of voices have to speak up. You know, better ideas, better utilization of their talent. We saw a little bit of that tonight. Guys like Aleister Black are the future of that brand. Buddy Murphy, Keith Lee, Matt Riddle, Velveteen Dream. And you can also have guys like Randy Orton and AJ Styles and Samoa Joe, if he can get healthy and come back, who could also play a role on these shows. But if you're misusing them and making all the wrong decisions, it doesn't matter how talented you are. So I say it every year. I feel like that's always the root problem here. Hopefully in 2020, they'll get their head on straight and they'll make these shows more must-see. Because all I see right now are a bunch of people who won't even take the time to watch the pay-per-views. They'll listen to the content. They'll listen to people's reviews. They'll read articles. They'll go to the news websites. They'll subscribe to some of the newsletters. But they won't watch the shows. That's a problem. That's a problem that they're going to have to fix. Shows like tonight? That ain't going to help. Thank you, as always, for joining me for this TLC stream, the final pay-per-view stream of 2019, the year that I finally started going live every month for these pay-per-views. Before, it was just a little special thing every now and then, and then sometime around May or June, it just became something that we started doing every month, and they've been very successful, and we get a lot of people who join us and call in, and it's always a good time. So I will say to you, if you don't listen to me again until next year, and I hope you do, because I'm going to be live on Wednesday night right back here on YouTube, so hopefully you'll join me. But if you don't join me again this year, let me say thank you, and let me wish you all a very Merry Christmas, and a Happy Hanukkah, and a Happy New Year from me to all of you. I appreciate each and every one of you. And let me also just put the Twitter poll up one more time, see where we're at here. Almost 2,000 votes. Not really any change. 32% up, 68% down. So thumbs down. Resounding thumbs down on TLC 2019. And I'll throw that bad boy up on the screen too. For those of you who have little ones, the children's book that my mother wrote that I got published back in July would make for a great holiday gift. Just an idea. There it is, The Adventure of Hardy the Horse. You can get it on Amazon.com right now. And all the people who have been sending me photos of like the kids reading the book and stuff, I love that shit. See, that's my holiday gift. I love seeing stuff like that. So if you do have a little one, there's a holiday gift idea for you right there. I will see you back for episode 631 of the podcast next weekend. That drops every Sunday. And back here for what will either be an AEW stream or an NXT stream. That remains to be seen. But I'll be live here on YouTube Wednesday night. And hopefully you will all join me then as well. Until then, be well, stay safe, have yourselves a great week. And very happy holidays to everybody. And I'll see you back here on Wednesday. Take care, guys.